Hi guys, DJ Anita Buffum here. You're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast, brought to you by Dragaholic.com and Kitchen Restaurant. This episode, we've got Oscar talk, our review of RuPaul's Battle of the Season tour, Cindy Crawford's leaked photos, and special guest, Ivy Winters.
Greetings, Earthlings. My name is Alaska Thunderfuck 5000 from the planet Glamtron. What's yours? Now, I've come a long way to be here tonight, so let's get our greetings and salutations out of the way right now, shall we? Hi! Ooh, I don't know about you, Miss Kitty, but I feel so much yummier. Now, there's an issue that has recently come to my attention that we need to discuss right now. Is that okay with you, honey? Are you ready? You, are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready? 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 Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. But I love you anyway. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Your makeup is terrible, terrible. Your makeup is terrible, terrible, terrible. Your makeup is terrible, but I love you anyway. Now, I heard this is the best motherfucking club in all the land. Is that correct? Well, it better be, because I never had no stunt shows or shenanigans at the doorway. Mr. Doorman, what's that? You need my ID? This face is my ID, motherfucker. Now, I'm not the kind of bitch who's gonna go behind your back and talk shit on you. If I have an issue with you, I will bring it right to your busted face. Now, let's discuss it right now, shall we? You specifically. Are you ready?
Oh, me? Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Are you ready? 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 Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. But I love you anyway. Do you hear that?
Oh my god.
You see, there's something I have to confess. You and I have a lot more in common than I thought.
What?
And there's something I need to bring to your attention right now. Are you ready?
I think so.
Are you ready? That's better. Are you ready? 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 My makeup is terrible. My makeup is terrible.
Why?
My makeup is terrible. Do you love me anyway?
Woo!
Terrible, terrible, terrible. My makeup is terrible, terrible, terrible. Your makeup is terrible, terrible, terrible. Our makeup is terrible, but I love you anyway.
Hey guys, you're listening to House of Mimosa, the podcast, episode number 9, and I'm Steven.
And I'm Travis, and I can't believe we're on episode 9.
I know.
I would say this every episode, but really, I...
Well, now we're getting into the swing of things.
We're getting like,
we're really enjoying it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had a good week, too.
We did.
We had a good week. Our brunch was great.
Yeah.
Our brunch show was great.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. And we had such a nice surprise yesterday after our brunch show.
Which was so fun.
The Bianca Del Rio uh-huh. popped into our dressing room to say hello and have a little chat with us.
Which was amazing.
So nice. I mean, we've met her a couple times
yes.
before. And
she's always had wonderful things to say.
Yeah, and her and I have had a little bit of back and forth on Facebook mm-hmm. and messaging each other and stuff. And just always so nice. But yesterday, just... like, went out of his way to come and say hello
yeah.
and hang out with us for a few minutes. Such a good guy.
Such
so
a
much
great
fun.
Energy.
Gave us some fun insider info into Drag Race,
yeah.
which is cool.
and hearing about how some of the stuff works over there and what he's got going on now. He actually today is told us is traveling to Australia.
That's right.
To do some gigs with Courtney Act.
Courtney Act is going to be opening for him for his
right,
Rolodex of Hate show.
Yeah. And, which we didn't get to see. We were so disappointed.
I know.
We had tickets to see Bianca's Rolodex of Hate show at the Hammerstein Ballroom
yeah.
right? And last minute we ended up booking a gig and couldn't go. We were so bummed
because, I mean, I've loved her for years and years since I first got on the scene in New York City, you know.
Well,
I don't know if this is,
well, I'm sure this is out there. She said that she's bringing the show back here.
So
we'll have the opportunity to go and see that again soon.
And support.
Yeah. And then Friday, I'm so excited. This coming Friday, we are performing at Maxfield's on Main in New Jersey, which is an old firehouse turned like music hall bar. I'm really excited. It's a venue that I don't think you would normally expect to see us at.
And it's going to be different.
And yeah,
I'm really excited. You know, different newcoming artists perform there a lot.
Right.
So it'll be fun to, you know.
Well, and the people who booked the entertainment there booked us because they saw our brunch.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're such a great act musically. We would love to have you.
You'd be a great fit. Yeah.
It's such an honor when we get asked to do things like that. I love that.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about it.
Not just being in drag. You know, when we get asked to do things based on specific parts of our act. I love that. I love
it. It's fun.
I can't wait. Oh, and we also have this Sunday. We're not doing our brunch show, but we're going to be at the LGBT
Expo
at the Javits Center. We've been asked to perform on the main stage.
Which is so fun. I can't wait for that.
So exciting.
To, like, meet people and socialize in character and, you know,
it's
see gonna
who's be a good
there.
Time. If you're in New York City on Sunday and want to have a good time, come on down to the LGBT Expo at the Javits Center. There's a lot of fun stuff going over there. I know I read Peppermint's performing and some other acts as well. So it's going to be a really good time.
It'll be a good time, yeah. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. What else? Oh, and in this is so fun. In a cup, not this Friday, but the Friday after, we're opening we're opening up for the Chippendales upstate
in New
the
York.
Mountains. Where
I think it's near Albany, actually. Somewhere near Albany.
Yeah, I don't know the exact town, but how exciting.
And we're going to be opening for the Chippendales. Anita and Gina are going to be doing their shtick.
I can't.
Before the guys take it all up.
I can't wait
to see how they're going to react in that element.
It's going to be a really good time.
I
can't wait. All right, so let's get into like some entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
We saw the SNL special,
the
40th anniversary.
The 40th anniversary
which
special.
At this point is a little old.
Which is old, but you know,
we missed it on the last thing. I was so moved watching it because we watched the red carpet beforehand, and we watched, you know, the whole special. But as I was watching it, I felt so emotional, and I was really surprised at how emotional I felt. And I guess it's like, you know, I grew up with this.
Yeah.
Like, this was, you know, for you it was musical theater, for me it was comedy, and I always watched. I would tape it when I was probably too young to watch it.
You were taping
it. We would tape it, and I would watch it, and I would wear the tape out.
Well, I always loved, like, sketch comedy stuff anyway, like Carol Burnett and Tracy Ullman.
Oh,
so
well,
sketch comedy was always huge for me, too. And, you know, but it's history. I mean, this is 40 years that this show has been on the air. And, I mean, to have all this, oh, my God, like, just to have all these people together and
amazing.
Doing this and celebrating 40 years is a big deal.
Well, I really can relate to, like, them as comedians and all of them. And I guess what I'm trying to say is what made me emotional was seeing these comedians who dreamed of being on Saturday Night Live, making it on Saturday Night Live, and then all the joy they bring to people through the laughter and I can't. It just made me so happy and emotional. And granted, there's a lot of bullshit on that show,
and there's a lot of sketches that don't work. And
but seeing 40 years of like the best, you're reminded of wow. When they're on, it's like perfect.
So perfect. And just my favorite thing is to watch the old clips.
Mm-hmm.
So when they reminisce and go to, especially the people that they've lost through the years, it was really emotional and just so great. I mean, Gilda Radner, come on.
Yeah. Ugh. And they have an app now. SNL has an app. And apparently you can watch sketches from all 40 years.
Oh my God, that's fabulous. I have to download
I haven't
that.
Checked it out yet, but I'm excited to
see
that.
Oh, I gotta do that.
In addition to that, we also saw the Battle of the Seasons tour.
That's right.
For RuPaul's Drag Race. So RuPaul's Drag Race does a tour called Battle of the Seasons.
Yeah.
And
with
Yahoo,
all queens from different, you know, seasons.
Well, what we saw was, it seemed like most of the winners
Yeah, I think it's winners Sharon, and people, or I Raja. Think top three.
I guess you're right.
You know, Manila was in it. Yeah, and Miss Congeniality. Yeah. So, you know, the people that have stuck around the longest.
Yeah,
you know.
It's all the ones you really want to see.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, there are some missing.
Well, they change it up, too, yeah. I think, yeah. You know.
Depending on what city you're in, I guess there's different queens.
But what was this, live streamed from?
This was a live stream done by Yahoo.
Okay.
And they've been doing this. The last one I saw was Gaga, uh-huh. And they live streamed her art pop tour from France, which was really cool.
That's cool.
And so they did this with the Battle of the Seasons tour, and we got to see some really great performances. Alaska, who's my favorite queen from RuPaul's
you
Drag Race. Oh my God, I love her.
Which I adore too. I mean,
I just think she's a great mix of like comedy,
uh-huh.
But fierce. She's quick witted. You know, like, I feel like she encompasses a lot.
Yeah, she's an entire package.
I enjoy her. So she opened the show, and she hosted a little bit, and
mm-hmm.
And I just thought she was awesome.
Yeah, she was. And they did, like, a fun little, like, what was that,
mini-challenge.
The mini-challenge, and also when they act like other queens, what's that called?
Oh, Snatch Game.
Snatch Game, yeah.
They did a live Snatch Game. If you watch Drag Race, every season, they do a spoof on the old, game show Match Game,
yeah,
and they call it Snatch Game, and each queen on the season has to imitate a celebrity or famous person,
yeah,
in a funny way.
And she did Laganja Sharanja.
This was really funny. So on the Battle of the Seasons tour, they did a live Snatch Game,
yeah,
and Sharon Needles was Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
Alaska was another queen from RuPaul's Drag Race named Laganja.
Mm-hmm.
Manila Luzon was Madonna.
Which I did not like.
I thought it was all right.
No, it was not good.
Talk about not very good. Ben de la Creme was a fangirl of the Drag Race.
Yeah, like an eccentric, crazy fan.
And there was one more. Oh, Jinx was
Jinx
Alaska.
Jinx was Alaska.
Which I also did not think was that funny.
Yeah, it wasn't landing right. And I don't think the voice was spot on.
Well, this
either,
is the thing about the tour. I wonder how much rehearsal time and staging and preparation goes into
the production. I don't think there is much. I'm sure that, you know, everyone works on their own acts.
Yeah.
And then they bring it to the stage.
Which has to be difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine rehearsing in my apartment and then being thrown on a huge stage. It's completely different.
Yeah, but they're not doing full-on productions with choreography or anything, you know.
No, but they could.
They could do a lot more.
Ben de la Creme, Jinx and Michelle Visage, who I absolutely love, did a number together from Gypsy. Right?
It's the burlesque routine, Gotta Get a Gimmick.
Right.
Which is fabulous. I love that song.
Right.
And they did okay. It was,
now imagine
it was fun.
If they had
proper rehearsal time and
rehearsal in a space that was like the stage.
That song could have been really well done.
And it probably
will get better as they continue to tour.
Well, I don't know how much better the staging can get if they're not rehearsing on a stage. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I would have liked to have felt like there's a little more staging and rehearsal time and production. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I mean, maybe, you know, they don't have a lot of time to put this stuff up. And, I mean, that's at least what it looks like, you know? But one of our favorites was Sharon Needles.
Sharon Needles blew me away.
Yeah.
Now, I loved her on her season. She was the winner of season 4.
Yes, season 4.
And loved her on her season, but I can't say that I'm into her whole aesthetic, that whole goth thing. I'm not really into it. So afterwards, after she won the season, I can't say that I've really been following her. But to see what she did on this tour, I was like, this bitch could have her own tour.
And we would all go see it. I mean, fabulous. It had, you know, here she is. Fog, lights
smoke,
come up.
Lights, mirrors.
She has a coffin on stage. She's coming out of it. And she did like a mix of three of her main songs. Yeah.
She sang live. And she's not a vocalist. I don't think she claims to be. But she did have her own album of original material.
And she sold it.
She freaking turned it out.
She engaged the crowd.
So good. And then when she spoke to the crowd, she spoke to them like a rock star
professional.
She was awesome.
And was really great.
Yeah, really awesome.
You know, and then she came back at the end with another set from, I think you were telling me that it's from an upcoming album.
Well, this
album
is where she came out of the coffin.
Yeah.
The second set was where she came out of the coffin dressed as Dracula, wasn't it?
No, that was the, The first set was her coming out of the coffin. The second one was her just dressed as Dracula.
Yeah, because I guess she has a new album coming out called Dracula. I believe that's what she said.
And she looked great.
So good.
And just captivating. I mean, that was a show. She put together a whole show, and it was really great.
And I wasn't expecting that, because recently we've been following a lot of the Drag Race performance stuff, and there's been a lot of the girls in their acts kind of making fun of Sharon for being an addict and drinking too much
and doing this and that. And she, I have to say, was the most polished on stage, composed, put together. She did Joan Rivers in the Snatch Game, and it was spot on.
Who's not with us today, she couldn't be here, but she said she had seen Sharon a while back.
Yeah.
And that this was, like, leaps and bounds better.
Yeah.
So maybe Michelle suggested maybe she's cleaning up her act or getting herself together. Or maybe she's just had enough performance opportunities now. Opportunities, I mean, they freaking perform all the time.
All the time.
But maybe she's at a point now where she's so comfortable and the nerves don't get to her and she's just
a pro. Yeah, and now she's very professional and doing her gigs and blowing it out
Making
of the water.
Work, girl. Yes,
she's blowing it out of the water.
Yes, honey.
Very good. Very good.
So, Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys saw this online. Cindy Crawford had a photo of her leaked.
Okay.
From a shoot she did for Marie Claire in 2013. It was a photo shoot done in Mexico. She's in kind of like this feathery thing and then like a two-piece bathing suit underneath. And this photo was leaked that was untouched.
It was not retouched.
Yeah. So it kind of shows her in a real way.
Yes, and how old is she? Do you know?
I need to look. Let me look.
I think she's in her 50s, I'm assuming.
Let me look. I'm going to look right now. But I thought she looked beautiful.
I thought she looked great, and somebody of that age would look that way.
Right.
You know, have some wrinkles. You know, she's had a couple kids. You know, her belly isn't going to be taut and flat, and, you know, it's going to have some hanging sagginess to it. You know, and she is toned for her age.
Yes.
You know, so she looks great, and she was tanned up.
She's going to be 50.
Wow, okay, so she's
going to be 50.
All right.
And I'm sorry, I think she looks fabulous.
No, she does look pretty
good. It brought up a big debate about, you know, real women and, you know, what's okay to look at. And I read an article about a woman who, her and her coworker, were, like, fixated on her flaws.
Mm.
And they were talking about, like, her sun-damaged skin. They were admittedly focused on her flaws.
Yeah.
And this article talked about, like, what's wrong with us as a society that we can't just appreciate how beautiful this woman is.
True.
Like, she's a beautiful woman.
Gorgeous. And you know what? A woman of her age, if you saw a 50-year-old woman that looked like her on the beach...
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't think... You'd be like, oh, wow, that is a gorgeous woman.
Well, and we know from our... having our picture taken all the time, and when we've done more professional photo shoots, lighting makes a huge difference.
It does.
And so, to me, when I saw that picture, I was like, okay, I feel like the lighting is really harsh.
Really harsh. And, like, just certain things, like, her legs were kind of open, and, like, her inner thighs were exposed in a way that really shouldn't be exposed, and, you know, the bathing suit was hitting her funny, and...
would probably be fixed up with retouching.
Oh, I'm sure.
And she's a professional. She knows what's going to be done and what's not going to be done. I mean, she's been modeling for how many years?
Yeah, so she knows what's going to be retouched as well, you know?
Right, and if she knew that that photo was not going to be photoshopped, she probably would pose in a different way.
That's it.
Apparently, her husband released a picture of her laying by their pool or on the beach or something and was like, this is how she really looks.
And she probably looked great.
Yeah, she looked phenomenal. Well, I mean, she looked like she was in her freaking 20s.
Hello.
She's stunning.
She is beautiful.
I think she's so beautiful. So there's this big debate about, you know, magazines. We talked about it on a podcast recently with Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue and the plus size model and kind of, as a society...
We're so critical.
So critical. And what we accept in this world of beauty and fashion and the media. And I have to say, I think there should be photos out there that are a little more real.
Yeah,
now,
there should
be. I like a little retouch work myself.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, who doesn't? But
well, it's just like in music. I saw an interview or I read an interview with Cyndi Lauper, who studied sound. She's like, got a degree in, like, sound. I don't know exactly what the title was, but, or the her title is. But she talked about not really loving to see Broadway because they don't utilize a lot of the tools that we have electronically to make things sound the best that they can.
True. It's and more about like, the voice and raw.
Why would I want to listen to not the best? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Photoshop. Like, I think Photoshop should be okay to enhance the good parts.
Yeah.
You know, like, make the good parts pop, you know?
And that's what she does in her sound mixing right. and editing. It kind of, like, right. is part of the yeah. experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Tweaking and tuning
things. And just pulling out the best parts of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is what Photoshop does. And I think there should be more of... less Photoshop and more, let's focus on the good parts and show women on covers of magazines looking like women.
Yeah, like average women.
Yeah.
Like those, like the Dove commercials that, you know, were embodying yeah. all women of all types and
yeah.
their looks, and here they are with their, in their underwear and,
yeah.
you know, saying, hey, we use Dove and everybody can use Dove.
Us fat ladies use Dove.
That's it.
Yeah. speaking of looking gorgeous,
ooh.
Oscars and the red carpet.
Oh my God. I mean, this is like, my Christmas is the Oscars.
Well,
I
last
love it.
Year it was boring as hell. Do you remember?
It was boring.
So
I mean,
boring.
Even I mean, every year it's a little boring.
Well, this year I can't say that I was super bored.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was due to the hosting, because to me, the hosting didn't add anything this year. But
yeah.
there was something about the vibe in the room and the like. I was there. There was something about like the vibe of the people that were being interviewed on the red carpet and,
yeah.
the nominees and then their speeches. It was all very quick and it was, nothing felt too long and drawn out.
No,
and,
it was all
and
very
and everyone seemed excited and
strategic.
It was good, which I'm surprised about because we saw one of the nominated movies.
Yeah.
And I can't say I loved it. We watched Birdman.
Birdman, yeah.
It was,
I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, the cinematography was really great, which they
yes.
did win for.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they won for Best Picture of the Year, which I was shocked because I thought it would go to Boyhood, but...
Yeah.
I
mean, we haven't seen Boyhood yet.
No, but I just assumed from all
although
the...
Although it makes me real nervous if...
What?
If Birdman, to me, was so frickin' boring and Boyhood didn't win, like the others didn't win, how
I don't think
good could they
Birdman
be?
Was boring. I wouldn't say
I just
boring. It was just very interesting.
Happened.
You had to like really pay attention, and I mean, it's like inner struggles of each person, and you know, so it, you know, isn't yeah, you had to
it
invest
wasn't for
in
me.
It.
It definitely wasn't.
It wasn't
for me.
Your type of movie.
But I could appreciate the things like the cinematography,
yeah.
and
it was
I
all done in like one shot kind of idea, and you know, each scene went into it to another scene, and I loved that.
And I understood that the acting, I thought, was really good in it.
Oh, yeah, it was really good.
I thought
good.
Emma Stone was great.
Emma Stone was really good. She deserved a nomination.
Yeah,
which
she
is
did.
So awesome.
And, oh, my God.
Oh, Edward Norton.
No, the guy. The
oh,
lead,
well, Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
He was really great.
Really
I thought
good.
Edward Norton was some of his best work was in that, too.
Yeah.
And he was nominated, too, I believe.
Yeah, so if you want to see some good cinematography, you want to see some good acting, watch Birdman, but
yes.
don't watch it for an exciting story, because
no.
it's not exciting.
The story's a little wishy-washy.
Yeah.
But red carpet, let's talk about any looks that you liked.
Okay, well, I always joke, as Anita and call her Lupita Mandingo.
Oh, my God. Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she, I think, was in probably the most fascinating look of the night.
Yeah.
This whole, I'm sure you've all seen the pictures by now, this beaded, like, it was pearls.
Pearls. It was all
thousands
pearls,
and thousands
and
of
then
pearls.
Into bead work.
Yes. And it had, like, to me, it had, like, a sort of hand-beaded, hand-crafted, almost like,
it looked
dare
like an
I
art
say,
project.
Sounding racist, tribal
okay,
sort
yeah.
of look, like
that.
The top.
Yes.
And,
I could see that.
And to me, it just looked heavy.
It looked heavy. It was not visually pleasing
no.
to look at.
Well, I think it didn't look pretty because it looked heavy.
It looked heavy, and there was a weird, I don't know, you would have thought that it would kind of been opened in the middle and went further down, like to her belly,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of closed in the middle with like one big pearl,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of didn't understand that. It looked odd that it was closed here, but then open
like,
again.
When you think of pearls, right, like they can be beautiful,
mm.
but you think of pearls, they can also... Like, you also think kind of grandma, right?
Yeah, this was very
this
costumey.
Grandma to me.
Yeah, it was very
it
costumey.
A little grandma.
But
who
I
else
did,
looked great?
I loved Gwyneth Paltrow looked really good in her pink.
Gwyneth Paltrow looked
with
great.
With the nice little, you know, flower
yeah,
on the shoulder.
I love that.
Which, to some, could be a little tacky. But I think here you are on the red carpet. It's the Oscars. So to have that glamour and that little bit throwback of, like, that old-style gorgeousness, taking a risk, but it still looks glamorous,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I loved, who else did I love?
I loved Jennifer Aniston.
I didn't see her.
Oh, gorgeous. She was like in a champagne dress and it was all beaded and it was, she was coming there saying, hey, you didn't nominate me this year for my movie, but I'm going to show up like I was nominated and I'll look like I should have won.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous.
Wait, more stunning than any look on the red carpet was Dakota Johnson and her mother, Melanie Griffith. Now, I almost shit my pants. It was probably the most awkward, uncomfortable moment in red carpet history or in television that I've ever seen.
It was something, it was...
Well, we should say what happened. Yeah. So, Melanie Griffith and her daughter, Dakota Johnson, who is the star of the 50 Shades of Grey movie, mm-hmm. were being interviewed by Lara Spencer,
from ABC.
And Lara asked Melanie Griffith, have you seen 50 Shades of Grey?
And Melanie's like, no, I can't go see that. And, you know, she kind of was making a joke of it, you know.
Well, she was just like, I don't know, I think I
don't know if I could see it.
And Dakota was like, well, someday, not yet, she hasn't seen it, but someday. And Lara says to Melanie Griffith, you know, you think someday you'll see it. And Melanie says again, I don't know, I don't think to see it. And Lara says, well, I will tell you, there are some racy scenes, or whatever wording she used, but your daughter's a great actress.
Yeah, and she said, I know my daughter's a great actress. She said, like, I just don't know if I could see her in that kind of movie.
Well, she said, I know my daughter's a great actress. I don't need to see that movie. Know that she's a great actress.
Exactly.
And Dakota Johnson
snapped at her
mother like they were freaking in the kitchen together.
Yeah.
Talking about what to have for dinner.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, that was a personal family thing going on that should not be on the red carpet.
Dakota said, Jesus Christ, it's a movie. You'll see it. Oh, it was like...
like a bad teenager.
Oh, my God. It was,
who's, like, you know, yelling at their mother. It was really bad.
It was bad.
And how embarrassing. And then there's Melanie Griffith, cool as a cucumber, and was able to be like, well, you know, maybe I will see it.
Yeah, she said, if my daughter thinks I can see it, then I'll see it.
Yeah. Great answer.
Yeah,
great.
Right?
You're a class act.
Class act.
But, you know, let's talk about that face, though, girl. Oh.
How about... oh, poor thing.
Poor thing. I don't know what's going on. Well, but she looks better than she used to.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are getting better.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of face, Idina Menzel. And John Travolta, who could not keep his hands off her face.
So awkward. Well, the whole idea was to play on what he had said about, you know, her being the, you know, the multi-talented.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he was playing and being playful, but, like, he touched her all up. She looked so uncomfortable.
Well, the only thing uncomfortable about it was the fact that he couldn't keep his hands off her face. But other than that, it was really cute. And I was like, this is funny.
His wig wasn't uncomfortable?
Well.
I mean, I don't get it. Here he is.
Are you going to let yourself go naturally bald, or do you think that you'll...
I'm going to go naturally bald. If I go bald, I'm going to shave it off and look
and
great.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
I mean, I can't say his wig was horrible. I think, what's-her-name's wig was worse, the one that was dressed up as Liza.
Oh, Shirley MacLaine?
Shirley MacLaine's wig was... I was like, bitch, that's a wig.
Oh, and Shirley MacLaine, I'm surprised she wore that, because looks like a quintessential Liza Minnelli outfit from the costume.
I was like, is Liza laying around naked somewhere? Because Shirley MacLaine is wearing her outfit.
Oh, I love Shirley MacLaine, though.
I love Shirley MacLaine, too. But it was a little bit Gladiator.
Okay, I could see that.
Like, I was laughing, because it reminded me of... Elizabeth Taylor.
Uh-huh. At the Golden Globes years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Right when she shouldn't be doing award shows anymore.
Poor thing.
But, you know, I mean, you know, when is too old to be presenting anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're great.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we all want to see them.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, they are just regular people.
Yeah.
But because of the art that they create, I think they hold special places in our heart because, mm-hmm. you know, art represents certain moments in time for people. They represent certain emotions you feel at certain points in your life. And so you make these connections with these actors and these artists and, you know, we want to see them.
And you hold them up to a pedestal
this is why we shouldn't be so critical.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everyone gets older. Everyone, you know, they go to these award shows, they have a couple drinks, they're on their medication. You know, I mean, come on. Like, it's just a fun night. Like, everybody calm down.
I know.
Speaking of calm down, Patricia Arquette.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved her speech.
I had no problem with it.
And I mean, here, it's like a feminist statement. She has a platform, you know, put it out there.
So what she said was, to all the women out there in this nation mm-hmm. who have given birth to all the taxpayers.
Okay.
It's time that we stood up for equal pay for women.
That's right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No. Because, here's why. I'm not a fan of people getting really political and fighting the fight in circumstances where I'm like, we're just trying to enjoy life.
Yeah, and here we are in an award show, that usually isn't the place to do it.
But I don't have a problem. They've only got, what, 90 seconds?
Yeah.
30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
So if she wants to use her 30 seconds to bring light to a cause that's important to her, awesome. I also feel like if she didn't do it there, where would anybody else listen to her?
Yeah, true.
She can't say that. Where will Patricia Arquette be able to have a platform mm-hmm. like that to be able to say how she feels about something?
Well, if she works for an organization that wants to have her as a speaker, you know, that's
what organization is there for equal pay for women?
Well, exactly. I mean, back in the day, there was, voting rights for women. Yeah, suffragettes. Yeah. But I was not against what she said, and there were a lot of people in the audience that were very excited about it. Meryl got up out of her seat. J-Lo was like, yes, girl, yes. You know, so it was fun, and what a fun moment to see that. And, you know, hey.
Well, especially in the movie business, right? Mm. Because women are paid notoriously less than men.
Yeah.
So it makes sense in that space for her to say that. And if you like it, great. If you don't, then nobody, whatever. You know, hey, I don't know. I mean,
it was only 10 seconds.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah.
It's fine. Move on.
Well, and there's other comments made too about, the film Selma.
Oh, yeah.
And
how there weren't many black people that were nominated as actors, or the movie wasn't really nominated, but they did win for best song, which I thought was wonderful, and that was a gorgeous production number.
The song is called Glory.
By
Common and
John Legend.
Right. John Legend sang beautifully.
Beautifully.
I mean, beautifully.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard that song before, but I was blown away, and it was very emotional. I got emotional watching it.
Yeah, it was emotional. People in the audience got emotional,
beautiful,
too.
Beautiful. It
oh
was
my
great.
God.
Beautiful.
It was wonderful.
But even more beautiful and even more emotional for me was Lady Gaga.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell you. It was such a surprise.
Such a surprise.
To see her do that song, or do an homage to The Sound of Music in general, because there was many songs in it, a medley.
Yeah.
And oh my God. And for me, that's like hitting all my chords at once, theater. I love her pop music. Oh,
you know
God.
Me, Stephen and I have this back and forth about like artists who are like musicians and musical theater performers. And we have this dialogue back and forth just kind of about how artists, musicians, mm-hmm. musician artists, and musical theater artists kind of deliver.
Yes.
And
I think the right musical theater people deliver in a way that is similar. There's a middle ground.
I feel like a lot of trained, this is a whole conversation for another podcast, but my, long story short, belief is that, or what I feel like I notice is that a lot of super trained musical theater performers deliver in a super trained musical theater kind of way, which is like, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, and we're not seeing them and who they are. I feel like there's less of a connection made.
Well, they're also playing a role in a show, and it's never, them
but
on stage.
I feel like we're at a point now where, in performance, the audience wants to make a connection with the artist portraying the role as well. So I
yes.
feel like they don't have to come out of the role, but I feel like because they're so, I don't know if this is true or not, but maybe because they're so trained to be an actor.
It's like a wall is there.
Yeah, that they, okay. they a wall is there, and they're not just being the character, they're like portraying the character, if that makes sense. So that's my issue with it. But seeing Lady Gaga sing musical theater and have a background. Of course, she went to Tisch
yes.
Performing Arts School for, I think she was only there a year.
Oh, wow.
So she does have training, but she also has this training as a musician, as an artist, musician touring the world with her own music. And so to see an artist like that do a musical theater piece, I just thought it was on point.
Well, because she's able to take that moment and put her in it. she, as Lady Gaga, is interpreting this and also paying homage to Julie Andrews and the people who have done this
beautiful
movie.
I got chills so many times.
It was really good.
I was moved to tears. I couldn't even believe it. And I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan.
Yeah.
Huge. But I will be honest, I can't say that recently I've been over the moon about some of the stuff she's been doing.
No, this was a performance of a lifetime.
This was
one of those performances of hers that will go down in history as one of the best performances probably she'll ever do.
Or one of the best performances of the Oscars ever.
Yeah.
Just so
I mean,
awesome.
People stood to their feet.
In tears. Julie Andrews came out. Was in tears.
Yeah. It was great.
She was
choked up after seeing all the people stand and then to have Julie Andrews come out, and then for her to have to engage and do that, it was an incredible moment.
So talented.
And God, that's going to go down in history.
So talented. It's time for another episode of The Real Housewives of Queens, starring Anita M. Buffum and Gina Marie Ritali, brought to you by Dragaholic.com. Dragaholic, always good to the last drop. Let's join these two gossiping gals as Anita has just sat down for lunch at Aphrodite, where she's being served by waitress Gina Marie Ritali.
Oh, honey, here you go. Here's your bread basket and your cup of French onion soup.
Thank you, honey. My appetizers coming?
Oh, yeah, no, they're on their way.
All right, good.
Of course. And, you know, do you need a refill on the egg cream?
No, I'm going to actually try one of these alcoholic beverages on the back of my placemat here.
Oh.
Is there something on here called, I thought it said Rob Thomas? Can I get a Rob Thomas?
No, honey, I think you mean the Tom Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have one of those.
All right, I can fix that.
No, I got to tell you something before you go, though.
What?
Well, you know how I told you about how, oh, you're busy, like I keep you.
Well, hold on. Luann, can you check that table? Yeah. All right, check it. Jesus.
So, listen. No, so I, you know how it was my Maria's birthday?
Yeah.
Well, is that what they, well, what is it, your cumpleaños? No, what do they call it when you're Hispaniolo?
A quinceañeras?
No.
A birthday party?
What is it? Dias de los Muertos or something?
Oh, all right.
Anyway, so she wanted a CB radio.
CB radio?
This is one of those things you get to hear from all the reports from the police.
Oh!
And you get to hear the fire station reports, and this way you get it straight from the horse's ass.
Oh, how exciting.
Rather than hearing about it third hand.
Well, look at that, honey. That's exciting.
Well, I didn't know how much I was going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I guess Maria just wanted a connection to the outside world, but
once
I realized how fabulous this was, I put it in my bedroom.
Oh, all right.
So
well, that makes sense, honey. I mean, she doesn't have any television, so.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I'm listening to it the other night, right, because I'm, you know, taking an afternoon nap, and I heard your name.
My name?
Well, apparently the whole thing over, I know you went to see 50 Shades.
Well, yeah, no, me and Frankie went to see 50 Shades, you know, for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so what happened?
Well, nothing.
Because the police said they had to come over there and pull you out of a sanitation closet.
Well, you know, the movie was, you know, pretty fun. You know, it was a very exciting movie, you know.
Well, I know you've been addicted to the books over
there. Well, yeah. Oh, honey, you know, me and the books. I got, you know, very excited. And, you know, me and Frankie have been doing 50 Shades before 50 Shades was even 50 Shades.
Well, yeah, back when it was, what did you call it, domestic violence?
Well, no, you know, the movie was very hot and got me all hot and bothered. And Frankie and I, you know, decided to go into, you know, the sanitation closet and, you know.
Sanitation closet, honey.
Yeah, well, you know, we needed a place that was a little private, and we went in there, and,
God.
You know, one thing led to another, and...
Stop yourself.
I know, can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
I feel like a little girl again.
Oh, my God, I'm like a teenager.
Well, I know.
Well, I remember we that one time we caught you over there in the pews at church.
Oh, well, shh, yeah.
During your communion.
Yeah, I know, shh.
And then when, at prom, you were up at Hickey Point.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I was known for that, but
yeah,
no...
But,
no, but,
yeah.
Honey, no, I mean, this was something that was so different, honey, because here we are in public, you know,
oh
the idea
God.
Of all this going on.
Stop.
Have you ever done that before?
No, honey, I only do the nun's position.
Oh, Jesus. Honey, you gotta open your minds
no,
to different
I
things.
Can't. Oh, I can't.
Oh, well, honey, one thing led to another. We were making too much ruckus in there.
Well, they said to the police when they came that you had marks on your neck.
Well, honey, you know.
They said it was not good.
What are you talking about? Not good. I mean, you know, it was just, you know, fabricated stories. I mean, you know, he wasn't really strangling. Well, he was strangling me. But have you never tried that before?
No, honey, strangling.
Oh, yes, honey, it's the newest thing.
The newest thing, well, strangling.
It's very different, honey. So, you know, it's just one of those moments where, you know, the man puts his arms around you and kind of clutches to the point where you almost can't even breathe, you know, and before you make that last breath, you know, you
before come, you see baby Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. You come to. After you come to.
Excuse me, miss. Waitress.
Oh, yes, honey.
Can I get a side of mayonnaise?
Sure, honey. I'll get there for you in just a second. Sam, can I get a side of mayonnaise? Oh, honey.
What?
They know.
They know what?
Honey, Frankie and I's safe word is mayonnaise.
This has been The Real Housewives of Queens, brought to you by Dragaholic.com. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Now, I'm so excited because our guest this week has not only been someone that's become our friend.
Yes.
But is also an amazing performer, an amazing talent, and you know her from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 4. Is that 4?
No, season 5.
Season 5.
Yep.
I always get the seasons confused.
Yeah, season 5.
RuPaul's Drag Season 5, Miss Congeniality winner.
Yes.
Ivy Winters.
Well, and we're so excited because she's going to be phoning in.
She's calling. We're getting a call from her right now because she's on tour with the Battle of the Seasons tour.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get in there and ask some questions. All right, Miss Ivy, are you there?
I am here. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hi. We're so excited to have you here on our podcast and chat with you. It's been so long.
I know. I miss you both.
We miss you too.
You both are like super fun, amazing people, and I miss you. And I know being on the road, I'm away from everybody.
Well, and we were real pissed because just as we were becoming the best of friends, you decided to up and move out of New York City.
I know. Primarily, it was both of your fault. So
that's what I like to hear. We're running the real professionals out of town. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just get right down to it. We're so excited to have you, and we watched your live performance from the Battle of the Seasons tour from the Yahoo stream, which we thought was fabulous.
Thank you. We found out the day of that. Live Nation and Yahoo Live were to be taping us in Chicago, and we're like, wait a minute, what? And so, like, everyone was, like, you know, nervous and, like, excited. I wasn't trying to think about it at all, because I'm like, everyone's going to see this stuff, so.
You always do such a fabulous job.
Yeah, you're a consummate professional. Come on.
How long is the tour?
The tour is about 3 months. The first 2 months are all over the United States and Canada, and we've been on the road for about 3 weeks, I think, almost. And the last month in April, we're going to across the big puddle, and we're going to Iceland, Barcelona,
Madrid,
Paris, Amsterdam, Manchester. Yeah, we keep getting other dates in the UK and around that area. It's just mind-blowing amazingness is what's happening with this, and we're lucky.
Oh, that's awesome. So what's been going on? Like, how is it with all the other girls?
Yeah, what's the dynamic traveling with all the other queens?
It's fun. I get asked that a lot. I think everyone thinks, you know, because RuPaul's Drag Race is so drama crazy that us all jammed up like sardines on this bus, everyone's like going nuts, but it's really nice. The tour bus that we have has 15 beds on it, so we all get to like have our own bed and sleep. I have my fiance with me, so, you know, that keeps my stress level way down. And we have a refrigerator, we get stocked with alcohol, and we can play old crap movies, you know, whenever we're traveling. We're all sisters, we love each other, and we help each other out, so it's been a joy and an awesome experience so far.
Oh, that's so good.
That's
so great.
Awesome. We wanted to ask you, or we were talking earlier about the Battle of the Season broadcast that we watched. We were curious, do they give you any sort of rehearsal time or rehearsal space to put any of it together?
No, I mean, when we find out that we're doing Battle of the Seasons, we have our own, you know, our own apartments and own houses and our own time that we're not traveling to rehearse and create these large numbers. Rehearsal is all on our own time. We will have a little bit of time before the show to every city that we go to, we have a sound check and a lighting check just to make sure everything's going to run smoothly for the show. And any of us that have duets or we, you know, we basically practice in the dressing rooms while we're painting.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And this actually brings me to another question, because before you were leaving, you and Steven and I were talking about possibly doing some live music together. And did we see you singing live?
Yes. Well, we had Jinx and her friend slash performer buddy Major Scales wrote a song for Battle of the Seasons. It's kind of like this anthem closing number. And the first couple cities, it didn't quite work out because one Jinx wasn't there and her voice was on some of the tracks. Now we're using a full this musical track, so there's not a whole lot of voices on it. And it didn't work out, first of all, and we got it, they wrote pretty late, so we were all trying to learn the lyrics, and, and it was really super stressful, and we're like, oh my gosh, so we practiced it, and I'm, you know, Alaska and Bendel Krem and myself, we kind of like do like a back doo-wop girl type thing. And,
I love it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to change a little bit, so we'll be able to actually like split up the main vocal later on.
Oh, well, I love that.
We're hoping to see you guys while you're here in New York, and so we'll be excited to see that. What's the date that you're performing here in New York?
New York date, March 5th at Irving Plaza.
Oh, God, I really want to, we're planning on being there, so I can't wait to see you.
We'll hang out.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest shocks, especially now that we're seeing stuff from promoted for the new season, one of the biggest shocks is that you sang so well on your season for the singing challenge, and that we haven't seen you sing since. And so we want to see it, girl.
We want to hear it, girl.
Come on, girl.
They're good.
Well, the thing with me, and I mean, I do all sorts of crazy stuff in my numbers. I still walk, I juggle knives, I fire, the wall swords. So I do all sorts of craziness, and with a show like Battle of the Seasons, there's so many girls that sing, and I feel like to make a complete show amazing, you know, we have to have all sorts of aspects, different parts, you know, everyone filling in for everything.
That makes sense.
I would like to sing live in drag. It's just, I haven't had the perfect opportunity to, and I'm a perfectionist. I don't want to come out and put out some bullshit, crazy, like stupid number, like, oh, my hair is spears, and oh my God, look at my makeup. I don't want to come out with anything like that.
Wait, do I hear an undertone of shade?
I basically don't want to sound like every Drag Race girl, but thanks.
I understand.
We get you. We get you. So, what was this drama with the tour bus breaking down?
Oh, it's happened twice already. I mean,
girl,
this is like the coldest winter that I think any of us has had, especially in like Canada and like towards Minneapolis. And it was so cold that our tour bus, the ball bearing, or I don't know the technical, I'm not a mechanic, but it like shattered because of the erosion from like the cold and like all the salt and everything's been on the road. So we all like were sleeping, and we woke up at like 2 in the afternoon, and we were in this teeny little, like a little bus mechanical garage, and I woke up because I smelled fumes. I'm like, what is this exhaust? And I'm like, oh my God, and I woke up, looked out the window, and we're in this garage with all the doors shut. We have this generator running. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to die. Michelle is really freaking out. She's like, oh my God, we're all going to die because of exhaust fumes. it's been, we had to postpone one of the shows. And we're actually going to Cleveland. We're redoing it. I think we're doing it Wednesday. I'm not sure if they've made an announcement or not yet. So.
And what's the dynamic with all the girls and Michelle Visage? How does that?
Good. We like performing with Michelle. She's fun. She's motherly. She's just kind of, you know, she's herself. And, you know, you might wake up to her practicing her songs and singing as loud as you can. But it's an amazing experience. And we're glad to have her back from her taping from Big Brother.
Yeah, we were excited to see her sing live as well on the broadcast. That was really cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. She's completely shocked me on the cruise. I've always liked her voice, and so she sang this ballad on the cruise, the Drag Race cruise, and it was like, it brought tears to my eyes, and a couple of people that were sitting around me, they're like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. So I was trying to get her to sing it for Battle of the Seasons, but she doesn't want to bring the show down to like a ballad standpoint, so I understand that.
No, she should do it. She should.
She totally should. I have to tell you, when we were watching the broadcast, and I said it earlier, in this podcast that I felt the Amy Winehouse song she sang, her voice was great, but I felt like she didn't connect. And I was like, come on, girl. Like, I was really surprised because her voice is so good. And I know she's got, like, some roots in musical theater. And maybe my expectations are so high for her because I freaking, she's a goddess, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But I was surprised. But, go ahead.
I think more people want to have her sing "It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right," but she wants to.
No,
I know.
No.
Well, come on, yeah.
No.
You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go.
Yeah.
So, because we're so professionals, such professionals, we just now put out that we were interviewing you and asked for questions, and we've got a couple. So, from Instagram, what's her name? 744 wants to ask you the best thing about drag. What do you think is the best thing about drag?
First of all, her name is what's her name? 74 something something.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the question was, what's the best thing about drag?
Yeah.
For me, one, I love sewing and I love to wear crazy costumes that I get to create. That's probably the biggest, but I mean, well, it's close. The second would be, I've always loved to do drag and inspire people to do bigger and better things and be artistic and creative and just kind of like be whatever you want to fucking be. And people, I get so many comments and messages, you know, saying, thank you so much for helping me, you know, survive this year of my life. Like, watching Drag Race and you on your stilts was amazing. And you made so many horrible things at home much better. And, to get messages like that is like one of the best feelings. It was like when I was a clown, you know, like entertaining for little kids and putting smiles on people's faces is just like, it's like gold to me.
Yeah.
And when,
not as much as gold, because I would love a bunch of gold, but...
And some of the costumes that you were wearing were fabulous.
Thank you.
Oh my god, that leather outfit, the black, was so...
Oh,
honey,
the black...
you look sexy, girl.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, honey.
You have to be a little sexy in the show.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
So Jennifer on Facebook asks, how do you keep up with Anita and Gina Marie? They're such lushes. What's your hangover remedy? Yeah. She says, what's your hangover remedy? A few martinis and my eyes the next day are so puffy.
You know, I've been drinking so much lately that I don't have hangovers anymore. you know, I've heard things where if before you go out, you know, take a big bite out of an onion, and the juices from the onion will stop you from having a hangover. I mean,
what?
If you want to go out with onion breath, go for it. I mean, I love the taste of onion, so I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know if it works, but...
Well, how about... I love that. That is hysterical.
Oh, that is really
But what
funny.
About from a cosmetic standpoint? Do you have a good remedy for puffy eyes?
I always use a really good face wash, and I use a... for, like, puffy skin or, like, I use, what is it, hyaluronic acid and vitamin C, I think? Vitamin C or E, I can't remember. I'm actually having a vodka ripple as we speak, so I have
good for you.
Vitamin C. It's vitamin C. My mom actually got me hooked on it, and it's the best stuff for your face. It makes your face, like, retain water, so you don't get those teeny little wrinkles and, like, it just really, it feels like my skin like glows from it. And you know, like every queen after they get out of drag, it's like their face is like blotchy and gross looking. And,
yeah.
I mean, not mine because I use this stuff. But,
no. Yes.
It's really good. Hyaluronic acid cream and vitamin C serum. It's awesome.
What is the favorite city that you've been to so far?
What's my favorite venue?
Your favorite city or venue, yeah.
Or venue,
favorite
yeah.
city. We're actually in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania right now, and we're having the best time. We got to see a drag pageant last night, and it's really pretty and beautiful.
Those queens must shit
right
themselves.
Tons of queens, yeah. I love Vegas. I love LA. I mean, there's so many good cities around. It's so hard to pick one.
And
we haven't been to all of them yet.
True.
You've got so much more to go. I can't believe it. It's amazing. We're so proud of you. So we were so excited because yesterday after our brunch show, Bianca popped into our dressing room and chatted with us for a little while. And
yeah, I saw your Instagram post.
Yeah, she spilled some tea a little bit. And one of the things she talked about was her favorite queens to work with. Who are your favorite queens to work with?
I love working with Bianca. She might be crazy and amazing, funny, and reedy on stage, but when she comes off stage, she's just a cackle of fun. She's really down to earth. She really is respectful of the other girls when we're on the tour bus. Because, I mean, we're on the tour bus for, you know, forever, and in a very tight space, so you don't want loud mouths and crazy to happen 24/7 because you just won't get any sleep. And Bianca's just fun. She's super helpful. She, you know, I plopped a wig on my head. She's like, girl, let me help you out with that. And she does it for you, you know, and she does amazing work. I love working with Bianca. I love working with Benda LaCram. She's also very chill, relaxed. She's fun to work with as well.
I love that.
I love that. That's so nice. Yeah. Getting a behind-the-scenes look.
I know. Is there anything on the tour that you didn't anticipate that's kind of like a shock to you?
You know, I didn't really know what to expect. The whole thing is kind of surreal. I didn't expect the weather to be so cold everywhere.
Yeah.
I brought flip-flops.
What?
I have one pair of boots, and I wore flip-flops for most of it but my boots have a big hole in the bottom, and they've been, like, leaking water, so I got rid of them. And I got these cheap little shoes at Walmart.
Oh, God.
We had hard because a lot of these places, we don't have a lot of time to shop. We're sometimes we're in, like, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of the places we shop were these, like, trucker drive-in places. So go to this little gas station, and because our bus is so big, we just can't drive everywhere. And it'll be like, you know, $5, if you have your card, you can take showers here. Like, they have showers, these gas stations. It's weird. And that's always a bunch of truckers. We stopped at one place, and we're outside having cigarettes, and there was all these truckers, like, lumber sexual. I wouldn't even call them lumber sexuals. They were sexy. They were they were very truckerish. And it was a group of them, and then it was a group of army dudes with their, like, their truck stuff. I don't even know what they had on their thing. But, and then it was, like, this big gaggle of drag queens.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're like, hey!
That is funny.
It really is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert out there.
Oh, yeah, totally. We're mostly driving close to through, like, Las Vegas. We had to drive through the desert to get all the way up to Seattle or somewhere over there. It was, like, middle of nowhere desert. It was very Priscilla.
Fabulous. What do you, what am I trying to ask you? What are your thoughts on this coming season of Drag Race?
You know, the only two queens that I know, I know Miss Fame, we've hung out multiple times. She's beauty.
Gorgeous.
She's got that face. And, Pearl. So a lot of the other girls I haven't even met. I haven't done my research on them. Some of the girls on the tour bus are like, I have no idea what to expect. So I guess, I mean, right now I'm just rooting for Fame because she's really the only friend that I have on there.
Yeah, she's fabulous. I love her. Her and Pearl, I think, are fabulous. Fabulous.
Her what?
Her and Pearl, I think, are fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm curious to know what's going to happen with the season.
Now, I know that you said this earlier, that you're touring with Keith, your fiancé.
Yeah.
What is it like working, because I know he works with you, and touring with him? How is that?
It's been a godsend. I have, with both of us, we have eight. Well, we had to fly from Michigan to Las Vegas to start the tour. We had eight checked bags. Only one of the bags was guy clothes, which we are both sharing. We fit into the most of the same stuff, but... we have that. We have seven bags of drag.
Wow.
And every night, I have so many props, and I have so many costumes in each number, and, like, curtains, and juggling clubs, and hula hoops, and all this crazy shit. And it's such a nightmare having to pack up and set up every single show. And I'm so happy that Keith is here to be able to, like, you know, set it up and take care of down. And, I mean, if I had to do all that myself, I would go insane. And also, like, you know, if we had to be apart for 3 months, I don't know what I'd do with myself.
Yeah.
So I'm really lucky to have him on board.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's so nice. Yeah. I know Sharon has her boyfriend with her, helping her out. And it's just really nice having your partner here, you know.
Yeah.
And how did it
make things so much easier.
How does Keith get along with all the other girls, too? Like, how is that dynamic?
Good. They all love him. He helps out whenever he can with anything, with bags and... yeah, he's super chill, so people get along with him really easily.
I love that. And I see on social media that he is starting to have his own little fan base.
Keith? He has his own little fan base?
Well, oh yeah, like everyone always commenting, look how cute Keith is with Ivy, and that's Ivy's partner, and I love it. It's so cute. It's so cute.
He's working out right now, drinking water while I'm having my cocktail.
He's got to be able to lift those suitcases, finally. Girl.
Yeah, he's got to, like, keep up with those suitcase lifting.
So, what's next for Ivy Winters after this tour?
Well, as I said earlier, Keith and I moved from New York to Michigan 2 weeks before the tour started. So, all of our stuff is in a storage unit right now. And our dogs are in Michigan being watched by a friend. So when we get off this tour, we're buying a car, and we're getting a house slash apartment we don't really know yet. And I know that I'm working on bigger, crazier, better numbers. I do want to sing a number. I need to, like, have some time and inspiration to, you know, write a really good song. I'm not the type that would do a lot of cover stuff. I'd like to create my own. So
yeah.
That'll probably be next. You know, just kind of, like, get a little base started in Michigan now that we're moving back, so.
I love it.
That'll be next, yeah.
I love it. Well.
RuCon, oh my god, yes, RuCon, which was just announced. I don't know, have you heard about this yet?
Well, we've heard about it, we've contemplated going.
Are you going?
We might, if you're going to be there, maybe we should definitely do it.
Yes, oh my god, well, it's May 16th and May 17th.
Yeah, right around my birthday. Hello.
It's right on your birthday?
Yeah. Well, my birthday's the 24th.
Early birthday.
Yeah, honey.
I love it.
But it's right in LA in 2 days. RuPaul's going to be there. And I hear there's going to be this little rumor going around that she's going to be there in drag, which, like, meet RuPaul in drag is, like, you know, never been done. So, and a lot of the Drag Race girls are going to be there. A lot of famous drag queens are going to be there. Elvira is going to be there. Amy Sherman is going to be there.
Shut up.
Yeah. And it's just going to be like this crazy extravaganza of, you know, it'll be like Comic-Con except for drag queens.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
I might be remembering my stilts. I need to think of an awesome stilt costume. Because, I mean, whenever you think of, like, Comic-Con or, like, a con of anything, it's, you know, crazy costumes and crazy big everything, so... I'm excited. It's 2 days. There's 2 days, and then there's 2 days off, and then there's the taping of the reunion for the new season. So
that's fabulous.
It's all happening in that week. Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, then maybe we need to plan a little trip together, and we'll come with you.
That would be fine. Let's plan it.
Let's do it. Well, listen. Thank you so much for giving us your time, and we really appreciate you being on the podcast. And good luck on the rest of the tour.
Knock them dead. You're doing a fabulous job.
Yes, girls. Twirl those
Thank
knives,
you,
honey. Throw those knives, girl.
Throw those knives at who?
Yeah, I don't. I could give you a few people if you need.
Yeah.
I want to thank you both. You girls are so amazing. And I'm so bummed that, you know, yes, we moved and we won't be able to see you guys perform and hang out with you guys. You both are, like, the best performers. If you have not, I'm talking to the fans out there, if you've not seen these two at House of Mimosa perform, you need to find a city, wherever they're at, probably New York, and you need to see them because they're hilarious. I've seen them probably 10 times at least. They're amazing. Funny as hell. So,
well, thank you so much. We love you, Ivy, and please give Keith a huge hug for us and break legs, and we love you.
Thank you so much. I love you both.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
So awesome to have Ivy on our
show.
Wasn't
it great? And
so awesome.
What a great girl.
Well,
what a great girl.
She came and saw us at the Ritz for the first time.
Yeah.
And she was so genuine and so nice and supported our show and supported us.
And she'd come to brunch and bring her other friends. And it was
and
great.
Invited us back to her place for drinks one time with
so
her
nice.
And her partner, Keith, who's amazing.
Keith is awesome.
So she's just such a great person in addition to being an amazing performer. And we got another question from our tweets. This was kind of an impromptu interview we did with her last minute.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really have time to prepare. But we want to try to get all your questions answered. Marcus Reeves from Twitter asks, will you ever tire of your name being pronounced Ivy Winters? So I had to text her, and her response was, ha ha, no, How do you say that? How do you read it? Ha ha. So she's like, LOL, I guess. No, it's a blessing. RuPaul said it that way. I wasn't involved with a lot of drama, so airtime was skimpy for me. So it was a good way for people to remember me.
Aww.
Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer. Andy.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to leave you with another music track curated by DJ Anita B.
That's right.
And really, your support means so much to us. Please also check out our brand new YouTube series, The Aftercast, where Steve and I sit down discussing some of the topics in this podcast a little bit further. Check us out at YouTube. Just Google The House of Mimosa, H-A-U-S-O-F-M-I-M-O-S-A. And please subscribe here on iTunes
and share with your friends.
Please. Thank you guys so much. Hi, guys. DJ Anita B here, bringing you all the beats and hits as you're driving around the city or doing whatever it is that you do. Maybe you're sitting around doing nothing. Maybe you're a poor person and you're at work. Whatever it is, I hope you're enjoying the music. And if you got an artist you want to hear, let me know. Next up, we've got Iggy Azalea's newest single, Trouble, featuring vocal powerhouse Jennifer Hudson. When Jen was asked about Iggy Iggs and working with her, she said, "She's so creative. She actually directed the video and wrote the treatments. I was like, maybe I need to do that. I don't think I've ever worked on a video with the artist being the director. Sounds like J-Hud's got a case of the Whitneys."
Right. I should've known you were bad news, from the bad boy demeanor and the tattoos. Cause most guys only want one thing, but I'm undecided trying to figure out if that's you. Either way though, I think you're worth a test drive. Cause ooh, you're so much better than the next guy, and a little trouble only makes for a good time. So all the normal red flags be a good sign.
Don't you call me thinking goodbye. And ever, you seem like trouble to me. Your teeth, and you turn up so fresh and clean. Smells like trouble to me.
Opposite the track, like your sister's there. Good girl, bad guy, what a perfect match. And if we you gon' wanna play baptized. Cause when you finish, you gon' feel like you was baptized. See, baby, now you're feeling for a test drive. Cause you don't wanna lose your ride to the next guy. And baby, trouble only makes for a good time. So all the normal red flags be a good sign.
Don't you come in thinking goodbye. Ain't that far. Trouble to me. I can tell by the way that you lean and the way that you kiss your teeth. And you turn up so fresh and clean. Smells like trouble to me.
I got a bad form in the worst way. Dear Lord, how'd I get in this position? Should've never got involved in the first place. The second place, never get the recognition. See what he doing to me, make me have to shout it out. Got a hold on me, that's without a doubt. So clear now that he's a trouble starter, but I ain't the same either. And he's ain't no still water.
Just because all the girls are falling at your feet, don't make no frame to me. Until you show me what's at. Feels like trouble to me. Just because all the girls are falling at your feet, don't make no frame to me. Until you show me what's at. Feels like trouble to me.
I should've known you were bad news. I should have known you were bad news. But I'm undecided trying to figure out if that's you.
Don't you come in thinking goodbye. Ain't that far. You seem like trouble to me. I can tell by the way that you lean and the way that you kiss your teeth.
And you turn up so fresh and clean.
Smells like trouble to me.
I feel like I'm at church, honey. Well, next it's Zedd, featuring his girlfriend, Justin Bieber's ex, Selena Gomez. The new couple were seen at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, with Zedd whispering sweet nothing in Selena's ears. A source at the party said that he may be a serious musician, but he was like a big kid at the party. He's playful and silly and was always making Selena laugh. He kept her smiling all night long. Take that, Biebs. And now, the Dirty Pop remix of I Want You to Know.
I want you to know that it's our time. You and me bleed the same light. I want you to know that I'm all yours. You and me run the same course. I'm slipping down a chain reaction. And here I
go, here I go, here I go, go. And once again I'm yours in fractions. It takes me down, pulls me down, pulls me down low. Honey, it's raining tonight, but storms always have an eye, have an eye. Tell me you're covered tonight, or tell me lies, tell me lies, 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 lies. I want you to know that it's our time. You and me be the same light. I want you to know that I'm all yours. You and me, we're the same force.
Enough of that nonsense. Oh, you guys, thank you so much for being with us here. The whole House of Mimosa crew is so happy to be bringing you the show week after week. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and head on over to our YouTube page and subscribe there, where you can see our brand new YouTube series, The Aftercast. Now, I got one more song for you by Music Master Avicii, who recently had to cancel a show in Jakarta due to a breach in contract by the promoter. Avicii stated on his Facebook that the breach was so bad it would have affected the entire show. Business always gets in the way of art, doesn't it? Get it together, people.
Once upon a younger year, when all our shadows disappeared, the animals inside came out to play. When face to face,
with all our fears. Learned our lessons through the tears. Made memories we knew would never fade. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said one day you'll leave this world behind, so live a life you will remember. My father told me when I was just a child, these are the nights that never die. My father told me. Can't put out, carve your name into those shining stars. He said, go venture far beyond the shores. Don't forsake this life of yours. I'll guide you home no matter where you are. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. When I was just a kid, I heard him say,